560 WNSR.
Abraham here for Amp Right Electric. You know, in this economic climate, you really want to use a company that is established and experienced and dependable. You got to get it right. And to get it right, you need Amp Right Electric. That's right. They are a Nashville-based, full-service, licensed, bonded, insured WBE electrical contracting firm, and they're good guys. I spent one day, about an hour over there with my dad, who is an electrical contractor as well, and the grand poobahs, the muckety-mucks, if you will, of Amp Right, and I was so impressed with the way those guys take care of their business. And yeah, they've done projects like LP Field, where the Tennessee Titans call home, but they'll also take care of your electrical needs. And we know that there have been a lot of needs here after what happened with the floods back in May. Amp Right's service and maintenance division offers a 24/7 emergency electrical service through the emergency dispatch system. So call them 255-5593, or you can visit them online at amprite.com, amprite.com. The Predators making some news over the weekend. They trade the captain, Jason Arnott. They trade the hammer, Dan Hamus, and they move forward now in getting ready for the draft. We are joined by assistant GM Paul Fenton on the W3 Communications Hotline. Paul, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you guys today?
Tremendous. Paul, let's talk about the moves, because the first thing that comes out of people's mind, because they're schizophrenic, is that it's a salary dump and they don't want to pay and all that other kind of stuff. And it just... You know, it occurs to me that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and getting the same result. And you know, it was anybody who watches the team closely and knows the game knows that it was time for a change for everybody concerned. It was time for a change, and maybe this was needed. Give me your thoughts on this deal, whether this is just a money deal or whether this is a team shaping deal.
Well, certainly it wasn't a money deal. You know, in our new system of salary cap, we have to plan. You have to look ahead. You can't just go by the seat of your pants, which I guess in the old days you could do that. You could spend up to what you wanted. You could acquire the people that you wanted at any particular time. I mean, after this year, we have Shea Weber and Ryan Suter that are gonna need to be re-signed. And you know, there's only so many pennies in the jar that you're going to be able to deal with. You know, we've always been an organization that has promoted from within if we have the capability to do so. And, you know, you got a really good look at Colin Wilson this year, albeit he played the wing most of the year with us. He's a natural power centerman, and we think that it's just a natural progression here to have him take over the number one position, and we have forwards that are coming, guys that we have to give opportunities to because they are also very talented players. You know, Cal O'Reilly will certainly be used in a more offensive role this year. We've got Mike Santarelli that, you know, we've seen portions of, and unless you make an opportunity for these guys a lot of times, you're not going to find out enough about them.
Paul, compare and contrast what the Predators have lost compared to what they've gained.
Well, certainly the initial shock of it, having a guy who has had so much success in scoring goals at the National Hockey League level, it's hard for the average fan to be able to look at that and say that we've done something good for the organization. But if you look at our track record for what we've done, drafting second round picks, you know, we just signed Blake Jeffrey the other day. We've had Nick Spaulding. There was a second round pick. Kevin Klein was a second round pick, and then I'll name the biggest one. Shea Weber was a second round pick. These are guys that are integral parts of our organization going forward. We got a guy named Matt Halichuk, who was actually Nick Spaulding's line mate in junior. And the year of the draft, I came very close to drafting Matt Halichuk as well. I see him as being able to play an eventual third-line two-way game. And you know, when you do your calculations out, when you see what the talent level you have out there and the prospects and the future players that you're going to have, you know, I told David when we were making the deal over the weekend that I could project, you know, Spalling playing with Jeffrey on and Halichuk someday as our third line and be a very, very good competitive line. And when I say that, I always talk about us being in the upper echelon of the league because your third line, you know, on a good team is just as good as the second line on a team that isn't very good. So that's our projection. We think that Matt Halichuk will give us games next year, and he'll push our guys to be able to compete for jobs in the future.
In the Nashville Predators' quest towards a Stanley Cup, do you feel that these moves that have taken place have gotten you a step closer to achieving those goals?
In the long run, I do. I mean, of course, again, I allude back to, you know, the normal fan is going to think that this was a dump. It was getting rid of a guy that could currently help us. But if you put Colin Wilson into that role, and this year, you know, he scores 65 points, and we put Cal O'Reilly in that role, and he does the same, all of a sudden you're going to see our offense take a step upward, if you will, as opposed to most probably staying stagnant with the same pieces. You know, we're willing to take our chances with the people that we have. We believe in it. This isn't to close the door that we're not going to try to do something in free agency. But going forward, I see us as being very, very competitive, and I see our kids as being our future.
Well, they are, because they're an outstanding group. That's for sure. Paul Fenton joining us on the W3 Communications Hotline. I am, I guess, one of the few people in town, and maybe that's because I look at everything positively, is thinking that this is a great move. I love what those guys did for us, especially Arnie and his captaincy and so on, but you know, I could see this coming. Now, let me ask you this: concussions were an issue with Arnie. The compounding of concussions—did any of that come into play when you guys were evaluating whether or not you want to extend to Jason Arnott or let him go and try and continue someplace else?
No, it did not. Jason is a specimen. I mean, he's a big guy. You can talk about him having a couple of concussions over his career, but, you know, he's a guy that's always taking care of himself. He doesn't have a lot of wear and tear on his body for a big man. You know, it just really isn't the nature of his game. His game is to shoot pucks. You know, he's got a laser for a shot, and that really didn't have any bearing in anything that we did. As far as re-signing him was concerned, I think I said it in the beginning that we only have so many dollars to spend, and we, I mean the National Hockey League and the Nashville Predators, and we have hard decisions to make here. You know, Shea Weber and Ryan Suter are two of the cornerstones of our organization, and next year at this time we're going to be trying to re-sign them for hopefully a long time to play with our organization.
Plus you got Hornquist to take care of too, right?
Yeah, but I didn't want to say that one because that's this year.
But we do have that one to take care of, though, right?
Yes, we do.
All right. Finally, before I let you go, just in the last 30 seconds here, I just jumped up and said, no, come on. This is Shea Weber's team. He's the C. Forget about it. You don't have to tell me who it's going to be, but what's the process? Is it an organization thing? Is it a team thing? What's the process to determine who will get the next C?
Well, our coaches have the most say. You know, they have the most feel day to day. But you know, they talk to David and I about where we're going. You know, the interesting part is I've drafted all these kids. I mean, when I was running the draft up to this point, and I still do the first round. So having a personal relationship and knowing what they have been like since the time that they were 17 years old, it just gives our guys that much more of a history on them for what they've been able to do as juniors, as college players, and accomplish a leadership role. You know, we've got in mind who we think are our leaders. You see it because we have a leadership group, and whichever guy that it is going forward here, we're going to have a great captain.
All right, always a pleasure to talk to you, Paul. Good luck with the draft this year, and we'll look forward to getting with you again.
Thanks, you guys. Have a good day.
See ya.
Thank you. There you go. Paul Fenton telling it the way it is. All right, we got to get this hour wrapped up here, and we'll come back and set you up for the final hour, which is wide open for you to interact with us. I'm Tom Abraham with Brad Hopkins on Sports Radio 560.
WNSR.